Seeking the help of Thee, Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 43 and the first clause of verse 10. Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, the first clause: Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. It was a reading that I read during the week as we began our morning readings and prayer, and this word seemed to rest upon my mind, and it has been with me during the week. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. It is one of the greatest blessings, mercies that could ever come upon the soul of any poor sinner, to be a witness, dear friends, of Jesus and his gospel, and the wonderful mercy that is found in it to sinful men and women, and the blessing in the gospel of a suffering Christ in the room and place of the sinner, or to have a wondrous witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our poor souls. Dear friends, it's a little witness that we can bear with us all our journey through. It's the only comfort that we shall ever have for our souls here below. And the wonderful mercy of it is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the witness then. But the church here, the godlies in the land, or they those that were comforted by and through the word of the Lord, the witness here that belonged to them, the care of the Lord, the fear nots that were shown and revealed to them. There are many fear nots in the scriptures, and they belong to the Lord's people. There's a fear not in the first verse. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. And then also in the fifth verse, fear not, for I am with thee. Dear friends, we may think, could we ever fear when the Lord is so with and near to his people, and he sees our poor hearts and our very needs here below? Whatever path we're passing through, whatever trials and troubles and difficulties that we may have, there are the fear nots of the Lord Jesus. And those fear nots are enclosed in each word that Jacob, I've created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Oh, the wondrous work of grace upon the souls of sinners, dear friends. They've been formed anew. They've been framed. They've been those that the Lord has worked graciously upon them, formed and then created, both the same really, but it's that glorious change so needful, dear friends, upon our souls as we journey forth here below. And then the fear not in verse 5, I am with thee. Could we be blessed with anything greater than that, dear friends? I am with thee. He's always with his people. He's always a God that is near to hand in respect of them. His eye is always upon them. Day and night his eye neither sleepeth nor slumbereth. He's always watching over his people. And he's so near to them. Oh, let us find out, dear friends, one or two thoughts and reasons why this is indeed the case with our God, Dear friend, well, the church here, they may be found in trouble, because it does seem in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, you know, the waters and the rivers and so forth, and the seas and so forth, they're always a type of trouble, trials and affliction here below. And this is, the Lord said in verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. And so he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee in thy troubles, or in thine afflictions, trials and difficulties, the doubts, the fears, dear friends, the distresses, the discomforts that we may pass through, but I am with thee. It doesn't mean to say that there may be an end to them, but I am with thee to bring thee through them. You see, this is the comfort that is here shown to the church. They're those whom the Lord loves, and he is very near to them, and he will watch over them in their course and in their path here below. I am with thee. And this is the blessing and the mercy, and the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, it shall not burn thee, or the flame kindle upon thee. Dear friends, the Lord is with and near to his people. And here it must be the comfort and the peace that may enter into our souls, that every matter that concerns us, dear friends, and the trouble that we pass through here below is also the Lord's matter, you know, his great concern, and he looks down upon his people in his love and in his mercy to speak the fear nots into their souls, dear friends. Well, this is the wonderful mercy. I want to speak of this, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. You know, we do need a witness of the Lord Jesus as we journey forth here below. We might say, well, this is the Old Testament church. This is the church. Jesus hadn't yet come. Jesus was not yet here. Ah, dear friends, their salvation was in Jesus. There was none other. Oh, there is neither salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent said, let us consider for a moment Abel. What was the blessing that should come unto him? Well, it was a very gracious blessing, wasn't it, that was given unto Abel. The Lord had appeared unto him. An offering. Cain gave an offering, and Abel gave an offering. But this offering, dear friends, was his faith's view of a precious Christ in his room and place, in sufferings for his sins and iniquities. And he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Dear friends, he saw his Lord's Christ. Dear friend, by faith there was a sacrifice made in the Garden of Eden. And those clothes, it was skinned and clothes given to our first parents. But then also this was his offering. It took, as it were, a lamb. And one, dear friends, without blemish and without spot and so forth, typifying the perfect and humanity of the dear Lord Jesus. And his eye of faith was upon him in respect of the word, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And here was his faith he received, he was blessed in his soul, the precious Christ, for his salvation. And this is the truth and the blessing, God testifying of his gifts. Dear friends, it was Christ then, wasn't it? The witness that was in his soul, that he was righteous. And we must see this in the Old Testament saints. They were looking by faith for Christ, waiting for Christ, the Messiah to come, the sent one, the promised one. They were waiting for him. Their hope was in him. They were those that prayed for him and watched for him. Make no mistake about it, dear friends. Their faith was fixed in and upon him over 4,000 years. And with the church, dear friends, it's a solid faith and hope that was fixed in and upon him. Oh, this is the wonderful truth that we have. But I was just going to show, if we see that was shown to us in respect of Job, that we might see the truth. The Old Testament saints, he says, there was a man in the land of Uz. Job was round about the time Abraham, or perhaps before or little after, or round about that time. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Oh, this is the wonderful mercy here. What can we say in respect of this great work upon the soul of the sinner? It says in the first verse, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." There was a wonderful change made then. A divine change wrought in and upon the soul. And how important this is today, to know something of it, dear friends. You know, the Lord said that he would put within his spirit and a new heart, and he would remove the heart of stone. Oh, dear friends, it's the Lord that will prepare the heart that shall seek him and serve him. You see, we all come into a knowledge of our sins and iniquities through the Spirit of the Lord. That is the wondrous truth that is shown to us in the Scriptures. Oh, to be brought to a knowledge of ourselves. I just go to it. It may be a word that seems to testify of this glorious change required and needful. And it says in Isaiah 55, a wonderful truth, "Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." The soul that has been divinely wrought upon, dear friends, that soul will be brought to a knowledge of themselves, to a knowledge of their sins and iniquities, each and every one. You know, I have to continue to thank the Lord that he appeared unto me. I was about 37 years old, dear friends, and come to chapel every Lord's Day, and at Fitzwilliam, where we worship, there was two services in the week, a prayer meeting on Tuesday and a service on the Thursday, and the Lord's Day services. And I sat, dear friends, in darkness and ignorance. I may have been stirred up once or twice, but it went from me, dear friends. But 37 years, dear friends, sat under the truth, as it were, and in darkness and ignorance of that sin that lay within me. Oh, the solemn truth, that sin that was able to condemn, that sin that was deserving only of everlasting damnation and hell and so forth, dear friends, lay within me. till the Lord appeared. Oh, in the riches of his grace, dear friends, brought my sins to the light of conscience. It was in a dark dispensation I was passing through, made redundant for the third time, dear friends, in my experience, and cast down, and the circumstances of it, dear friends, it brought me to see my sins and iniquities. And, dear friends, in a moment of time, my past life came up before me in a moment. You see, and it burdened me, it troubled me, it laid me low, dear friends, brought me to nothing in a moment of time, brought to see that sin that was hidden, now through the Spirit of the Lord brought to the light of my conscience. And dear friends, it did lay me low, it brought me to nothing. I saw the holiness of God, dear friends, brought to see ultimately the greatness of his holy law. And dear friends, all my life I'd walked contrary to it every day, dear friends, standing against it, unable to keep it. But oh, dear friends, the precious Christ was revealed. He humbled and gave me that new heart, that humble and contrite spirit that only the Lord would look down upon. It's the work of his own hands, formed and created and formed, you see, anew. This is the rich blessing, then, dear friends, that will come upon the souls of sinners. And the moment that we're brought to know and feel our sins, then the gracious blessing of confession, the spirit of prayer, the grace of supplication, and I became a beggar at the mercy seat. I know that the Lord's work of grace upon my soul was but 3 weeks, about 3 weeks, before I was brought to feel the wondrous truth of this witness of Jesus in my room and place. At Calvary is the wonderful truth, is the only hope, dear friends, for sinners. And blessed with that gift of repentance towards the Lord Jesus, faith towards him, brought, dear friends, to know and see my sins pardoned and forgiven through him. It was through the 6th chapter of John, dear friends, that he showed to me that I was a pardoned and forgiven sinner, and set free, given liberty. Dear friends, we will know when our sins have fled from us. There will never be a burden anymore. No, that is the rich mercy. And I was going to say in Isaiah 55, and it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found," in verse 6, "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Ah, dear friends, the witness is the great blessing, isn't it? "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Let us just have a look at this wonderful truth, because in this psalm, in this prophecy of Isaiah 55, it does say in verse 4, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people." And this is Jesus, who the Old Testament church were looking for. They were waiting for him, looking, praying, dear friends. It was their only hope. This is the blessing. But he appeared, dear friends. And the truth of this is in this. "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born." And the witness, you see, Jesus, isn't he the faithful and the true witness in the gospel? Didn't he come and fulfill, dear friends, all the blessings that were spoken of him, both by the prophets and then also the sacrifices, the morning, particularly I may just think of the morning and the evening, daily sacrifice, taking of the lamb, dear friends. Well, it was that, dear friends, where they worshipped, and it was a continual daily worship, dear friends, of taking the lamb, daily sins. You see, the blood of beasts were not able, as it were, to take away sins. But Jesus came, and he fulfilled. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head came. And the blessing of it in salvation, if we take the Lord Jesus to be the witness then, and that one that was promised, and so it was in the Gospels. And I just want to go, it came upon my mind to see this witness of the Lord Jesus, those that were waiting for him, oh how they rejoiced, how that they praised and blessed God. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is the coming of the Messiah, the promised one, and he that was sent, and he came, dear friends, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. But there was one, dear friends, that had a witness in his soul in respect of him, and I just thought of Simeon. You know, the Lord had given him a promise. He was one indeed that was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and his name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now there's something precious here, dear friends. This is the witness. You know, there must be a seeing of the Lord's Christ. And he was favoured. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him when the Lord came forth into the temple. And Simeon took the Lord and raised him up in his arms. And this was the peace and consolation in his soul. The Lord said that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, as he had promised, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation according to his word. And dear friends, it wasn't just natural eyes there, dear friends. He did see him naturally. He did see that babe, the holy child Jesus. He did raise him up with faith in his arms. He did love him, you see, because he was his great salvation. But he saw him, dear friends, as that one that should be suffer, bleed and die for his sins and iniquities. He knew that he was going to become a sacrifice for his sins and iniquities. Dear friends, he beheld him as his saviour and redeemer. And isn't that the witness and the testimony in his soul? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Not just literally Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus. But dear friends, by a living faith, it is Jesus. Our faith looks backward. The faith of the Old Testament saints looked forward to that same place, that Jesus had become the sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people. And here is the rich blessing and the mercy. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Oh, we do need this witness of the Lord Jesus in our poor souls, dear friends. Let me just take one or two of the scriptures where Jesus was truly seen and beheld as the that witness, the faithful and the true witness that did come, and then the witness in the souls of those that were blessed by him. We may have that word in Isaiah 61, and it is a good word. The faith of the Old Testament saints will be looking to this word, another promise of the Lord. But he says in verse 1, chapter 61 of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And so the Lord, the faithful and the true witness, and then the witness that should come into the souls of those, the fulfillment of that word. It says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, "And the Lord Jesus being found in the synagogue here, and the Spirit, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" And whose ears was that scripture fulfilled unto? Those in the midst. The gospel was preached to the poor, and it's the poor that need the gospel, dear friends. They need the Lord in the gospel. They're the poor and needy ones that live upon his word. They're the poor and needy ones that seek him for mercy and salvation day by day. They're the ones that need him to uphold them, to keep them and to maintain them in their course. They cannot keep themselves. The gospel was preached to the poor, and that was the witness to them, dear friends. And then to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, what a witness then. These that were healed, the brokenhearted, that they did hear the word of the Lord. Those that were troubled and burdened over their sins and iniquities. Dear friends, sin will break up the heart, dear friends. It will. And this is the mercy to heal the brokenhearted. Dear friends, what a testimony to have that witness that the Lord is that one and only one that is able to heal and able to restore, and then to set the captives free is the great blessing, isn't it? Liberty to the captives, gathered, dear friends, out of the pit of destruction. Prisoners set free, dear friends. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel, and liberty to them that are bruised. Dear friends, the faithful and the true witness. But is it a witness, dear friends, in our souls? Is it a witness that meets our needs and our case and condition as we journey forth here below? Have we been brought to feel and to know our ruin by nature, through the Adam nature? Dear friends, it is a ruined nature. It is a nature, dear friends, that is evil and wretched and undone. Dear friends, an awful nature. And we may not feel it, dear friends. It's solemn if we don't. It's solemn if we don't. Dear friends, we shall need Jesus. If the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us and testify to what we are by nature, it is the Spirit that will convince and convict us of our sins and iniquities. and it's heavenly, it comes from heaven. This is the rich blessing. See the witness, dear friends, in respect of that woman in the Gospels. And she was one, a great sinner. And Simeon the Pharisee saw that she was a great sinner indeed, and wondered that the Lord would even touch her. But Jesus came to such, dear friends, and she was one that came to his feet, and she was one that had been forgiven much, and she loved much. She had the witness in her soul, dear friends, that yes, Jesus, he was her Saviour and Redeemer. The gospel was preached into her soul. It did change her from her course. She was an harlot, dear friends. Simeon knew her. He knew the manner of her life and wondered that the Lord had anything to do with her. But Jesus came to such, dear friends, and see the woman here. She loved much because she had been forgiven much. Isn't that the testimony, the witness in her soul, dear friends? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Wasn't she a witness of the mercy, the loving kindness of the Lord to be her Saviour and her Redeemer? And this is the blessing, that she belonged to the Lord Jesus. You know, Simeon saw her outward life, but Jesus is looking upon her inward, dear friends. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Oh, what a witness of that, dear friends. This poor woman here, the King's daughter is all glorious within. You see, and her garments are wrought gold, dear friends. Oh, this is the blessing that belonged to this dear woman, a Saviour and Redeemer. Well, this is the gospel, isn't it? But let us just have a look, dear friends, at the wonderful truth that is shown to us in respect of the Lord Jesus, the work that he came to do for sinners here below. I'm just thinking of the Lord Jesus, another witness and a testimony, and that witness and testimony that we want to know something of in our own souls. I'm looking for Psalm 132, and the wondrous truth is just a word that is spoken in respect of the Lord. It says in verse 17 and 18, there will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Where was that truth really and truly made known, dear friends? Wasn't it in the truth in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 69, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began? Isn't this the horn, dear friends, of our salvation? You know, as the horn is on the beast, it is a sort of a defence and a protection on the beast. But it is also, dear friends, that horn where it can drive out the enemy or the predators that may come against him. Well, this is the horn of our salvation in Jesus. Where is it, dear friends, that Jesus drove out all the enemies of the church? Isn't it upon the cross at Calvary? Isn't it here that he was in the sinner's room and place instead? Isn't it here that Jesus, in his awful sufferings and death, the wounds, the bruises, dear friends, drove out all the enemies of the church upon the cross at Calvary? Isn't it here, dear friends, where he suffered for the whole church and all their names engraved, as it were, upon his breast. And he prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he only prayed, dear friends, for his church. He never prayed for the world. He only prayed for his church. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And his prayers was always answered in the affirmative. But what a mercy it is to be one of those inside of that prayer, dear friends. They will be the witnesses. Or they will witness the wondrous truth and blessing of Christ's sufferings and death at Calvary for their sins and iniquities. And it is here that he drove out every last enemy of the church, the world that was in us, the flesh that was in us, the fleshly nature that was in us, the awful sin that was in us, Satan that was in us, the world that was in us, and the hell that was deserving to us, dear friends. He conquered and he overcame every last enemy upon the cross at Calvary. This is the horn of our salvation. Nothing, dear friends, to stand in the way of this great salvation. It's been done and accomplished by Jesus. And Satan was driven out. This is where the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And how was he cast out? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. A suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary drove out every last enemy of the church, dear friends. And what a mercy that we have the testimony of Jesus, dear friends, the faithful and the true witness. And see Isaiah 53, dear friends, and Isaiah, buying through the Spirit of the Lord, showing to us the sufferings, the wounds, the bruises, and the lamb going forth to the slaughter, and the sheep before her shearers is dumb. And then, dear friends, that it was that one, dear friends, that should justify many as they were indeed the Lord's people, justify many upon the cross. And he says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And he bears them all away, blotted out. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The wonderful truth, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. See, this it just came into my mind, Isaiah 53, and we see it as the gospel was preached and proclaimed by the Lord's apostles. We see it in the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't know much, did he? He didn't understand much, but he was brought, dear friends, to feel his need. The work had begun, and he was reading the scriptures, Isaiah 53, and the Lord sent a minister to him, Philip, and he went forth with that man upon the chariot, as it were, and he preached Christ into his soul. He began at that place where the Lord Jesus went forth as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and he preached Christ into his soul, dear friends. Oh, and that man, it wasn't the blessing, didn't he receive the witness? Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. It's the witness of Christ's sufferings here. You know, Philip preached from, we have it in verse verse 7 here, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, and he preached from there, dear friend, and he preached Christ unto his soul. A witness, dear friends, what hindereth me to be baptized? Oh, dear friends, a precious Christ was revealed into his soul. And it was that one blessed indeed. He gave testimony, a witness is a testimony. And he gave testimony passing through the waters of baptism. Philip must have preached this also. And his testimony was what Christ had done for his soul. Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest be baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, that came down and assumed our nature, took upon himself our nature except sin, to suffer, bleed and die for my sins and iniquities. That was the blessing that came to his soul. That was the witness. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Oh, what a mercy it is then, dear friends, to hold this witness in our souls. Dear friends, that Jesus became our Saviour and Redeemer. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And that is the truth, isn't it? Therefore, the last verse, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Wonderful mercy, wonderful testimony. For ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And this witness we bear with us all our journey through. And dear friends, it will reveal and manifest itself in all our needs and all our concerns as we journey forth here below. But I just wanted to speak also of another witness. You know, the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ was to reconcile the church unto God the Father once more. You see, the solemn truth through the Adam nature, and when Adam was banished from the garden, that's where it left us all, dear friends, alienated from God, enemies to God, enemies to grace and goodness, dear friends. The mercy of this is in the truth that Jesus came to reconcile us again unto God the Father. When our sins are pardoned and forgiven through that precious blood that Christ shed for sinners at Calvary, wasn't it there that peace and pardon came into our consciences, and that we did rejoice over salvation, and then also that we were reconciled unto God the Father. I just want to just make another witness of that truth, because it is shown to us in Romans chapter 5 and the blessing of it. It says in verse 10 and 11, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And in the margin to that word atonement, it means reconciliation. Brought again to God, dear friends, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it mean? He has become our Father which art in heaven. We are his sons and his daughters, and we do bear the witness and the testimony of that wonderful truth. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's such an important truth today, dear friends. I just think of a hymn that I just thought of in respect of this, and it says in 9:83 in verse 1, Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. Oh, make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Oh, what a wonderful mercy it is, dear friends, to witness with the blood that we are sons and daughters to God, reconciled again unto Him. And then let us conclude by thinking, dear friends, of the blessing that does belong to us. It is something that we can consider as we journey forth here below. It says in John, 1st of John and chapter 3, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can we look betimes by our faith, dear friends, of what it shall be in that most wondrous day when the Lord shall appear again, the second time without sin unto salvation? The church, they will stand whole and complete and pure before the Lord. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And dear friends, you see, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We won't be in this nature, dear friends. No, this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And those that are upon the earth, dear friends, when the Lord will come again, and those that shall rise up out of their graves unto the Lord, body and soul will come together again, the spirits of just men made perfect. And then those that's on the earth, they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, dear friends, that this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. And that is when we shall behold and see the Lord, dear friends. There'll be no sin in us whatsoever in that great day, but not as we are now. Dear friends, yes, sin will be a trouble to us all our journey through. There's no doubt about that. It will be a trouble to us. But in that great day, we shall see him as he is. And John wasn't absolutely clear. We cannot know in perfection of how it shall be. But he says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And these are those, dear friends. And I just thought, in that day, when the five wise and the five foolish virgins, dear friends, the five wise, They had the witness in them, didn't they? When the banqueting door should be opened to them, dear friend, they will go in, you see. But the five foolish, they had a lot of religion and they came a long way, dear friends. What is it? It's the Spirit of the Lord, the witness within, dear friends, isn't it? It's what God has done and wrought upon the soul of a poor sinner. And this truth here, it's one of the most important and necessary truths. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Dear friends, let us pray about it. Let us seek the Lord to be one of these witnesses, one of this number, dear friends, this great number whom God knows and whom he loves and whom he gave into the hands of Christ to redeem and to save. Oh, let us pray. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Amen.